Though it was still daylight, the hot lamp was shining full beam over the mahjong table. Diamond rings flashed under its glare as their wearers clacked and reshuffled their tiles. The tablecloth, tied down over the table legs, stretched out into a sleek plane of blinding white. The harsh artificial light silhouetted to full advantage the generous curve of Jago's bosom and laid bare the elegant lines of her hexagonal face, its beauty somehow accentuated by the imperfectly narrow forehead, by the careless framing wisps of hair. Her makeup was understated, except for the glossily rouged arcs of her lips. Her hair she had pinned nonchalantly back from her face, then allowed to hang down to her shoulders. Her sleeveless Chung Sum of electric blue moire satin reached to the knees, its shallow, rounded collar standing only half an inch tall in the Western style. A brooch fixed to the collar matched her diamond-studded sapphire button earrings. The two ladies, Tai Tais, immediately to her left and right, were both wearing black wool capes, each held fast at the neck by a heavy double gold chain that snaked out from beneath the cloak's turned-down collar. Isolated from the rest of the world by Japanese occupation, Shanghai had elaborated a few native fashions. Thanks to the extravagantly inflated price of gold in the occupied territories, gold chains as thick as these were now fabulously expensive. But somehow, functionally worn in place of a collar button, they managed to avoid the taint of vulgar ostentation, thereby offering their owners the perfect pretext for parading their wealth on excursions about the city. For these excellent reasons, the cape and gold chain had become the favorite uniform of the wives of officials serving in Wang Jingwei's puppet government. Or perhaps they were following the lead of Chung King, the Chinese nationalist regime's wartime capital, where black cloaks were very much in vogue among the elegant ladies of the political glitterati. Yi Tai Tai was Giselle, so she had dispensed with her own cape, but even without it, her figure still seemed to bell outward from her neck with all the weight the years had put on her. She'd met Jiaga 2 years earlier in Hong Kong, after she and her husband had left Chongqing and the nationalist government together with Wang Jingwei. Not long before the couple took refuge on the island, one of Wang Jingwei's lieutenants, Cheng Chengming, had been assassinated in Hanoi, and so Wang's followers in Hong Kong were keeping their heads down. Yi Tai Tai, nonetheless, was determined to go shopping. During the war, goods were scarce in both the unconquered interior and the occupied territories of the mainland. Yi Tai Tai had no intention of wasting the golden purchasing opportunity offered by a stopover in the commercial paradise of Hong Kong. Someone in her circle introduced her to Jiaga, the beautiful young wife of Mr. Mai, a local businessman who chaperoned her on her shopping trips. If you wanted to navigate Hong Kong's emporiums, you had to have a local along. You were expected to haggle over prices even in the biggest department stores, and if you couldn't speak Cantonese, all the traders would overcharge you wickedly. Mr. Mai was an import-export, and, like all business people, delighted in making political friends. So, of course, the couple were incessantly hospitable to Yi Tai Tai, who was in turn extremely grateful. After the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the fall of Hong Kong, Mr. Mai went out of business. To make some extra money for the family, Mai Tai Tai decided to do a little smuggling herself and traveled to Shanghai with a few luxury goods, watches, Western medicines, perfumes, stockings, to sell. Yi Tai Tai very naturally invited her to stay with them.
"We went to Shu Yu, that Sichuan restaurant, yesterday,"
Yi Tai Tai was telling the first black cape.
"Mai Tai Tai hadn't been."
"Oh, really?
We haven't seen you here for a few days, Ma Tai Tai."
"I've been busy, a family matter,"
Ma Tai Tai mumbled amid the twittering of the mahjong tiles. Yi Tai Tai's lips thinned into a smile.
"She went into hiding because it was her turn to buy dinner."
Jiaga suspected that Ma Tai Tai was jealous. Ever since Jiaga had arrived, she had been the center of attention.
"Liao Tai Tai took us all out last night.
She's been on such a winning streak the last couple of days.
Yi Tai Tai went on to Ma Tai Tai.
At a restaurant, I bumped into that young Mr. Li and his wife and invited them to join us. When he said they were waiting for guests of their own, I told him they should all join us. After all, it isn't often that Liao Tai Tai gives dinner parties. Then it turned out Mr. Li had invited so many guests, we couldn't fit them all around our table. Even with extra chairs, we couldn't all squeeze in. So Liao Tai Tai had to sit behind me like a sing-song girl at a banquet. What a beauty I've picked for myself tonight, I joked. I'm too old a piece of tofu for you to swallow, she replied. Old tofu tastes the spiciest, I told her. Oh, how we laughed. She laughed so much, her pockmarks turned red.